Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn-Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, September the 2nd, 2014. This is our 241 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello, welcome back from Oahu.
Yeah, been going back and forth, Busy as could ever be. Not used to doing here. A lot of physical labor.
Yeah,
in the hot sun, August sun. Get up to night. Yeah, we kind of broke into the 90s.
90s.
Which is unusual.
Yeah, that is unusual.
Yeah.
And then you don't have any trees or anything much shade.
No, not at all. Not in a shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
People would call it a boatyard, but some of these are really ships. Yeah. Anyway, that's just stuff that goes on there. Anyway, miss working with you, Curtis, and getting the word out.
Yeah, well, you got to keep your boat afloat.
Yeah, well, I was pressured to do it, and I was wondering how come I wasn't pressured to do something, you know, in the water. I had to pull the boat out of the water, so I did, and turns out that I was directed to hit a particular fitting with a hammer, and it was really loose. In fact, it was leaking. I didn't even know it was ready to just open up wide. So when I went and tested it, the actual opening was no more than about a half an inch long by maybe an eighth of an inch. You know, barely could get a screwdriver through it. But once I got it in, there was nothing there. There was no wood. The wood had completely gone away. It's fiberglass had a little hole. And, I brought the boat out just to find that little area. So,
which is a big area when it's in the water.
Oh, yeah. You know,
under pressure.
Could have gotten a lot worse. Anyway, it's interesting. A few comments people made. They said, so somebody's watching out for you. Oh, you know, yeah, you have somebody taking care of you to find that, you know. It's been in the water 10 years and no trouble, and all of a sudden you get pressure to pull it out. Yeah, well, that's the kind of stuff that happens, you know, because we don't have a full array of guardians sometimes. Some people do not, and they have sometimes bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you get something like this going on, and people didn't use the word luck. You know, they just said you got somebody watching out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you just smiled and...
Yeah. I said, that's a whole other subject.
That's a whole other subject, you know,
yeah.
Which they wouldn't understand or...
Well, I mean, if they're ready, they
they're not ready.
If they're ready, then I kind of like poke in a few more comments and then end up with a very, very long conversation. But then things don't move that way most of the time. But then there are a few that do. However, it didn't turn out that way in a shipyard. Everybody's just focused on work, get mm-hmm. the work done. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have a wooden boat with a fiberglass covering over little covering over the
quarter inch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like the old PT boats. Remember the PT boats?
Yes.
Yeah, they were made out of plywood and fiberglass covering it.
Oh.
You know, yeah. So it's sort of very similar to that construction. Yeah.
And similar to the size of a PT boat?
Oh, no. A PT boat was maybe, let's see, a PT boat was almost 80 feet long or something.
Oh.
There were smaller ones too, but the ones like PT-109, John F. Kennedy's P.T. boat, I think. That was a big one, yeah. But anyway, that they were simply, at the end of the war, simply sawed in half and thrown away, which is too bad, yeah.
Yeah, too bad, because people like those military aircraft or,
yeah,
I guess, military boats.
They had four Allison aircraft engines in them, gasoline. That made them run real fast. So they were not diesel powered or gasoline powered. So gave them a lot of horsepower, a lot of get up and go. But mine's a nice slow poke boat, does like maybe 10 miles an hour at the top speed.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's another story.
That's a slow journey to Honolulu.
Yeah, yeah. It can be slow but comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one that's much faster. But anyway, that's another story.
Well, that's very nice. I'm glad you're moving along with that. I guess you're going back over there and working some more.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. It's not in the water yet. Some more work being done.
I want to thank James from North Wales, Pennsylvania, for his support of a month, for hosting all your hours and the website. And thank you very much, James.
Thank you, James.
That's very nice.
A little bit of a comment here is that one of the things that I found out early was that when you have when people are, they are guardians that work together, celestial guardians. They may be in person, many times not, but in their oversight, they tend to have influence on the lives of those that are supporting their program. And it is real. It actually is real. I've seen times in which people have done things like that, supported a program like this, whether it be one in which is more directly related to religion or one which is in the program of a celestial of celestial importance. They end up becoming kind of guarded and inheriting some guardianship too. And as a result, things swing their way sometimes. And I've had people call me their lucky charm. They said, I don't know why it is that my business has bloomed after I worked with you, doing that project with you. Well, it wasn't for free, I had to pay them their normal rate, but they were honest and upright and did something. Others have given me money personally, handed it right into my hands. And I kind of remember that day when I did that, I handed it back. I said, I can't take this money. And he says, oh, yes, you can. And you need to. And let me tell you why. And he said, you need to take this money because if you don't take this money, it won't be seen as a gift to you as in supporting your mission. And as a result, if it doesn't go through, I cannot receive your covering, your like being part of it, and I want to be part of it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll just do it for you, for your own good, not for my good, but for the giver's good. And what happened was he ended up doing very well. I mean, it was like, again, they didn't use it. They just said something like, oh, God has blessed me a lot since that time. And, continue to support me. It's just things go right. And the reason they go right is that many times our own divine source within ourselves becomes more highly, we can give an ear to that voice. And as a result, our decisions get guided, sometimes even to the point where we may be choosing a wrong decision, and then kind of on our conscious mind thinking that that's the right thing to do, but somehow it gets overlooked. We become absent-minded on the particular time of the decision, and it doesn't get done. Then why? If I had chosen to do that, it would have ended up in terrible things, you know, or not necessarily terrible, things wouldn't have gone as well. So sometimes they don't necessarily have to convince you of something. Sometimes they just have you forget to do it. And that's interesting. You know, it's not mind control. It's sort of like a little influence for your own benefit. And these are the kinds of things that happen. I've seen it happen so often. And that's the reason I'm relaying this message. And the idea is to be ready to receive it and expecting it, because when you expect it, you become more attuned to the divine voice within you, the divinity fragment, that fractal of God that is able to then adjust to you. And many times that relationship is somewhat cold in the beginning, and then it warms up as you continue to reciprocate back and forth through action and activity, and then also gaining alliances and realizing greater truths. And along that way, it's a way of really ending up in a more happy place. Kind of nice to be in a more happy place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's terrific. Well, Paul J.S. in Fayetteville, he sent in on the 11th of August. You can see this on the Listen page. So go to the Michael Connection Part 3 and go down to the hour and click on Listen, and you can see all these comments from different people. But this is about a raw Rosetta image of alien building on Comet 76P. And mm-hmm. there's a link here, and I just watched it with Michael, and you could see the craft, a circular craft right on this comet, and they even said this is not a comet. And then you saw what the space agency did covered over, so we couldn't see it.
It's not a dirty ice ball like what everybody or commonly thought of as a cometary body. It's clearly a solid object, and according to those that have or do understand the electrical nature of the universe, it's been machined electrically. And it has this dumbbell feature, which comes out of the dynamics of electrical discharge. But along with that, you see, after the formation of this body, you see this disc shape, very large discs on the surface, as well as what looks like a building structure complex. And that's probably one of the major reasons why they want to go investigate, because they were led probably in investigating that through being directed by the course, perhaps, of one of the objects they were watching heading toward that cometary body. And said, we need to investigate this even further, because there's something that came from planet Earth headed that way. And where is it going? It's going right there. And this is the kind of thing that sparked interest. Also, what sparked the interest for going over to Saturn and, you know, having Cassini go over there and investigate a lot of things, including the New Jerusalem over there, orbiting. Not just orbiting, I think, just having playing in the rings of Saturn. So a lot of things going on. And it's this very program of all this activity that brings to mind of the interest toward our planet in its no longer its infancy. It is very close to maturity in a level of, you know, its population. It can grow a lot more in population, but it would have to become much more well-developed in terms of our civil government. And that's one of the problems that the world's unification factor, the idea of becoming a world of its own outside of the rest of the federation of the universe, that, you know, is something that our planet is being guided away from. It needs to become a part of the rest of the universe of true origin, tied in with the first source and center, instead of a free agent running around confused and totally lost. However, we've made a lot of very interesting different kinds of activities that have happened here that have allowed for an evolution of a planet a little bit beyond the tried and true planets. And as a result, we'll have a stronger body of sentient beings of divine origin, mortal origin of divine destiny, that will truly be well able to populate many other worlds, even worlds of their own architectural design, architectural spheres. So anyway, this is all part of their program of ascent and get this planet up on its feet right, but not to the point where it becomes a rubber stamp of another planet. And many of these planets are in this, you know, segment of the universe, Satania. Many of them are just falling under rebellion, so they got a lot of bruises and dents and errors in their ways that have been turned around. Our planet is actually being able to express many things that have evolved under the light of guidance. Many of these that were not under that light of guidance, which is under the divine fractal installed in the human race, that is really bringing forth a greater planet of higher beauty. Anyway,
well, it would sure help if they, since the American public paid for the spacecraft, and they said in here it cost a couple billion dollars.
Yeah,
it would really help if we would benefit from it and learn from it, all of us, instead of just a select few. And then we could all grow much faster and know where we were growing. But to be kept in the dark is really not fair. NASA, when it was formed in 1958, it said right in there that because of national security, we're not going to tell you the population anything. And it's just a shame that that has still stuck since 1958. So it's really hard for us to grow unless we know how we're growing. To be kept in the dark is will always keep us keep us without having this knowledge.
Well, one of the things about having pure knowledge by investigation versus also having divine guidance or this holographic guidance, the true universe governance, is that true holographic governance is the way in which a civilization truly can develop and not go through its you know, the evolution of empires that just sort of rise and fall all the time. And this is not the case in what we're being directed toward. That's why it doesn't seem to be that significant, you might say, a hidden manner of information, because eventually all things will become very clear. And many times, even in the times of the prophets of old, in the biblical prophets of old, or even the New Testament, who were disciples of Christ, or even the apostles, were given in part the understanding of holographic governance, the governance of divine love, and missed all the other aspects of, you know, the scientific development, the technological development that functions within the universe. And as my experience was with the Danos, I thought was with to find all this technology and to, you know, to have that stuff given to me as a visitor. It turns out it was not that way at all. It was to discover how the most important elements necessary in order to facilitate the lasting civilization, eternal one that can possess so many different technologies and all being able to do a greater good, you know, one directed toward that. And it's an amazing thing that it was put to me that some of the technologies will come in their proper time. It's like they knew. You know, all of this stuff we have right today in our hands, and that one smartphone is virtually the level of technologies that I had experienced, you know, in the New Jerusalem. And it's like, what we don't possess is that full adoption of the divinity that would holographically govern through the hearts of men, and their, as well as their minds, but more toward their hearts, more toward their inner motivation to build a civilization that isn't so confused. One of the problems with confused religiosity is that there is a perspective that is held so tightly that it has no freedom to understand. And as a result, they become very destructive. And this is exactly the opposite of where they're supposed to be. Anyway, that's just a little bit of what I see in terms of all of this activity in the universe, and some of that which we're spotting right now, and just placing, you know, our own interests and wondering if our planet, I guess those higher up would like to know if our planet is going to be invaded by, you know, this giant disk. One of the things that it reminds me of was how, in terms of discussions with the Sharuns, that some of these comets were gliders, were considered like what we would consider gliders. They're not, they don't have to be powered heavily, and they have installations which are automated, but can also be used for their purposes, which would allow them to function at a not so much moving space about, rather than they can just move within space, the regular dynamics of celestial movement, bodies of like a cometary orbit. Apparently this orbit too, with this particular comet, is not necessarily perfectly predictable. It does some changes. So that's probably another reason they're looking into it.
Yeah, because usually things that are in motion tend to stay in motion.
Yeah, and so what's acting upon it, and that's what they're looking at. And now you can see that they airbrushed out the picture of the the original picture of a disc, large disc on it, and made it look like a crater, a hole, but there's something there that could have acted upon it and changed its course. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that are happening right now that are keeping our planet from getting totally blasted and destroyed. A recent flare that was strong was released on the opposite side of the sun so that we don't get blasted. Now, I'm wondering if there's like safety valves. And I think so. I think that the level of interface between our own star, the sun, and the celestials themselves are able to regulate. In fact, the power regulators, the one that I was able to understand and look at, which is a Fronda-like, which is very compact, had the ability to deal with tremendous energies. Others of that material controllers are able to regulate even suns, stars. So our sun is being right now monitored. So we're trying to keep us away from being fried yet, pretty much. Even though our magnetic field is kind of diminishing and our planetary resonance is changing, which is causing the disruptions many times in terms of human affairs, because it you might say irritates people, and as a result, they have this rising against each other. So, I noticed Paul made a comment about the Schumann resonance. I listened to. I guess a player of that resonance, and it calmed him nicely, and also his dog, I think, went to sleep. And so. And also, it does help a person get realigned to the weakening resonance of our planet. And it's also a shifting frequency, but to get us back on square. So every once in a while, go monitor the Schumann frequency. It's out there for us to use. You can download or just play an application. But anyway.
And and Paul also sent this in on the 16th of August that what we watch and listen to is owned by only six corporations, and that is there are 1,500 newspapers, 1,100 magazines, 9,000 radio stations, 1,500 television stations, and 2,400 publishers are all owned by a small group of six corporations. So the news media, unless you're listening to Alex Jones or the Drudge Report, that's Matt Drudge, he's getting 22 million people to his site a day in 24 hours. And compared to like CNN that gets, in 24 hours, they get 252,000. So, the news media. So, let me move on and say what Wendy wrote. She said on the 18th of August, she said, "Deeply loved and valued gents, I trust this finds you all others partaking in this blessed forum well. Many of us have been led to participate in this platform and also follow Nancy Leader's platform of the impending pole shift. Both Michael and Nancy have prepared for different tasks of a unified mission, Michael to navigate us to our destiny and purpose as sentient beings, and Nancy to communicate the passage of the sentinel body that will bring great physical change to Urantia. If the Chaperones so desire, could they please share their perspective that unifies both Michael and Nancy's mission for those on Urantia at the time of the passage of Planet X?" And she closes by saying, I respect free will as supreme and extend my deepest gratitude to both Michael and Nancy for their desire to serve. with loving greetings from New Zealand, Wendy.
Well, Wendy, that is something that we can for sure bring forward to the Shaoruns, and see if I can do that right now. This is Siyatarakik Sharon.
Hello, Sharon.
Yes. You desire to know, apparently, a more specific meeting point in which the pole shift, the planetary pole shift, occurs in relation, perhaps, to a development of the planetary population in readiness. You know that the planetary population, in terms of its origin, the mortals on the planet, were developed here on planet Urantia for the purpose of ascension. They were no longer only a material and natural animal of intelligence. No, they became instead a divine child to be brought forward. And in being brought forward, they would be able to begin the story of ascent. And in that story of ascent, they will thereby gain true divinity, one in which they become truly a part of the family of the universe and make their steps through. Periodically, the planet has gone through cycles of changes, some of which were orchestrated not by us, but by one who had fallen from grace, fallen from truth, and desired his own destiny for carving his initials into the planet. Under that, there became many developed animals, you might say, who ended in a dead end. He did try to develop sentience, but at a later date, it was discovered that he did form a sentient, allow for the formation of a sentient being, the predecessor of now the human race, which has also been adjusted perhaps in different manners with the mixed celestial material design. In other words, the human race is not purely of this Urantia, this planet, but has been altered. But the greatest gift that was allowed to be maintained was that which allowed for the place of the divinity fractal. That fragment of the first source and center which allows for truly the wonder and splendor of the holographic embrace, the governance of the universe. At a time near, this embrace will embrace planetary-wise many of these who are adjusted toward the voice installed within themselves. I am talking about humans who have become embraced and we also embrace back to the adjuster, the thought adjuster, the divine fragment, the fractal. At that point, much will be done. The impending circulation of the planet, which can cause and perhaps make again cause a disruption of civilization. At that point, these individuals who have become resonant to that voice will know, I need to say no more, because that voice is much stronger than mine. When that voice speaks, peace and great love will be its intonation. Though fearful sights will be there, great peace and guidance will be brought forward prior to that. The situations that will happen will be varied. There will be those who shall and are right now being adjusted for. The physical adjustment in the mortal body is right now being made into a receptive, more receptive nature to this change. If you are out there and notice not a desensitizing, but a higher sensory ability of feeling many of those things, such as energy flows, that you never felt before, you are being prepared. So the process of this point, the necessary point of intersect between your divinity ascension development as well as the planetary change, the physical planetary change, is already being prepared. So I would say, if you do feel a bit different, be glad, for that it means that you are being adjusted. Attain that adjustment, you will have many sensitivities, even feeling vibrations that you've never felt before. These are indicators on a personal level that you are being communicated with and being prepared for this time of change. During the pole shift, magnetic fields of our planet, the planet Earth, Grancha, which I participate in, is going to change to the point in which you will know that it is. There will be areas that must be attended to. These vortex areas will maintain strong fields of energy and will shield. These vortex areas will not necessarily mean that the planet's magnetic field disappears completely. You'll feel them, and you will know within your domain certain vortex areas that you feel strongly are good. That is because you are being sensitized to these areas of protection. You will be able to simply move toward them at the time in which they are necessary to take you to protection. There are others in which you can be shielded mechanically or electrically through electromagnetic shielding, metallic structures. But they are indeed a little different than the active vortexes, because the vortexes bring forth a pulsation that you will find as being one that adds to life, not just protecting against a perhaps dangerous blast of solar particles. Therefore, do not stay in one place. Move about and feel within a local area, and you will notice these areas of stronger vortices. They will maintain them, although the surrounding areas may fail. These areas are full of life and are full of energy that you will like and enjoy. At such a point, both voices will speak. This is Hieraktik Shaharun. In your favor, I guide you. Farewell.
Farewell, Sharon. Thank you for coming on. That's wonderful to hear. So these areas, Michael, he said these areas are full of life.
Yeah, I think it's one of the aspects of being full of life. He also said energy, full of energy.
Yeah, full of
but
energy.
But in order to detect you know, one of the things personally I've noticed since 2012 is a sensitivity to a lot of different vibrations, and not just like that vibration of that audio vibration, ambulance, and fire engine, I think. Anyway. There are others that, you know, kind of wonder about. Actually, you actually can feel energies and sounds which are emanating electrically, electromagnetically. And if you do feel that electromagnetic, which you never felt before, that means you're becoming sensitized toward these vortices, you know, pools of magnetic shields, whirlpools. They are very much like the sunspots. If you were to try to imagine them, they sort of whirl around and they're in different places. But they are a good thing for a failing magnetic field. At the pole shift, the overall field will collapse, but many of these whirlpools will become like pools of protection, you know, of life. You know, simply if you're in that area, you'll be okay. So it is not necessary for an entire planetary lift, but there will be those who will be lifted. Yeah. And probably in a similar sense of how I was lifted and go through a very similar training, familiarization with the celestial organization that is truly heaven. In other words, get familiar with heaven's methods. I know people have become so detached with the realization of heaven as being some kind of etherical place, but it's not. It's really just pointing out to the greater celestial community and the civilization that's out there, being so many, you know, millions of years literally ahead of us.
Sharon said the vortexes will feel strongly and good, and then he said move toward them for your protection.
Mm-hmm. Just to know where they're at. You become
some of them are famous.
Some of them are already pointed out. Many of the old temple sites.
Mm-hmm.
Right within my location right here, there's a church. And it's built upon an ancient temple, a Hawaiian temple, which is built upon a certain vortex, And sometimes I wonder what causes these vortexes anyway. But the church was built on top of that, right on top of, and they, not to, you know, to put their foot on top of the old temple, but to say it was, you might say it's on the foundations of this vortex. So some of them are already pointed out by ancient culture. Ancient culture may go all the way back to tribal, you know. People might find these things in terms of, in the Americas perhaps, in terms of the locations like where Native Americans have already pointed out have energies. And others who are not discovered because they're new, but will have similar feeling about them. But you won't find them if you're not sensitized. But once you become sensitized, you'll find them.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And you'll gain it more and more as you cooperate with the divine fractal. And just sort of like part of growing up, you might say. It just will happen. You know, it's like part of a natural development, or one that is toward ascension. It will include some of these sensitivities, like I'm feeling them right now. So anyway,
wow.
So these vortices are also living voices, you might say, because magnetic fields and stuff like that are generated by movement and energies and living forces too. So there are all kinds of things that we need to become sensitive to, but the idea is that if you're not, you will become, you know, as you get closer and closer to the very divinity that's in you, God within you. You know, that's the mystery of godliness or God that's been hidden from the ages, which is the very Christ or that fragment of divinity already in us, which is, you know, the whole purpose of the human race to rise, having been given that above the animal. Otherwise, we'd be just a smart animal.
I mean, isn't that what we are, just smart animals?
No, that's not it at all. And to have lowered us to that level would have been only furthering the rise and fall of civilization, because the conflict that goes on within an individual and such a limited purpose is too great. You know, it only inspires for failure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's reassuring. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're just a smart animal, what's to keep you from becoming an animal in behavior? Mm-hmm. Just okay, as a smart animal, I'll just make a bigger cannon, you know, blow away the guys I don't like, because they're just animals too. In fact, that's one of the ways in which the human brutality, the inhumanity, man's inhumanity to man. When I walked into the temple of the Shaharuns, and they were playing on the wall, you know, all this man's inhumanity to man. Mm-hmm. And then I came in there and I was like, don't blame me for that, you know. I didn't do that. Well, what it was it really comes down to the point where there are people who believe they're higher than another human being, you know. And the other human being is nothing more than an animal. And once they put that into that perspective, they can do a lot of damage to another person without feeling any guilt. So like slaughtering an animal, you know.
But once you
sympathize, you that's the true high thing, is to have lived to the point in which you have true sympathy for the human race. You lived life, treating another human as less than human is very difficult to do. If you are to be motivated by truth, it will become impossible to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it becomes a little difficult to see the higher being in another person because they're acting so, you know, so pitifully like an animal. But if you dig deep enough and speak the right words, you begin to recognize that, yeah, this guy is human. Even if he's acting like a damn animal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad the Sharons feel we are precious beings on this planet.
Yeah, because it's the whole program behind the development of life here on the planet was to get to this point of the human race. Not as a smart animal, but one of a divine, or, you know, to become all from the animal, become divine.
Mm-hmm. And these vortex areas that we're supposed to be mm-hmm. able to feel and mm-hmm. move toward them for our protection?
They were characteristics of well-being, peace, love that you feel there, as well as vibrational energies that that can make a person feel more healthy. Stronger. These are the things that are real. You can actually find them. Yeah.
And we'll be able to...
People spend their time collecting around shopping centers and malls, okay? Shopping centers and malls. What is there that... You ever been to a shopping center or mall without people?
Not really, except in an airport overnight when nobody was there.
Yeah, it sort of goes dead, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no people, there's no life in there. Well, can you imagine going to a place where it doesn't seem to have any people, but you feel the same life energy?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of like how you detect these places. That's a simple way of putting it. Well, you feel like, oh, there's stuff going on here, you know. Well, there's nothing here, but there's stuff going on here. Yeah. And then, of course, they're like people. Some people want to become real sensitive. They sit down, get quiet, and change their state of mind, their oscillatory vibration, their thought pattern. And move between full conscious awareness, which is really related toward just looking around and being in the here and now, and also, you know, moving away toward more of the dream state. Somewhere in between that two, moving back and forth, you can find that certain areas are easy to pass back and forth. Yeah. And that is a kind of a more protective place, looks like. Yeah. But when you're not sensitive to them, it doesn't seem like any difference. Anything special.
Okay, and so how will we know whether we can be feel these vortex areas physically? In other words, how are we... I mean, is that just going to be built into us, or are these vortex areas going to be very easy to distinguish?
It'll be easy to distinguish if you're tuned in.
Resonant.
Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be able to detect areas of peace, harmony, kind of. That, you know, when people are losing this Schumann resonant frequency, they get destabled, they become on edge, you know. That's one of the ways you know that you're not in the zone. You know. But if you are, you feel like, you can think clearer, you start having smoother, easier to move around in terms of mental movement between states of mind. Saying between full consciousness awareness to ones in which are moving more toward the dream state. The dream state is, I don't know, they call it alpha, beta, it doesn't matter. You know, it just gives you more practical feelings to give you an idea where it's like, will allow you to receive answer, much like how I mind share with the Shaharun. You begin to get a higher voice guidance, because that's really where all of this comes about. Yeah. And also, when it came down to the salvable population of a planet, if it was going to be destroyed, that salvable population is determined by the individual's resonance toward the truth, the voice of truth, the divine fractal.
Well, Kathleen from Kentucky, she writes, "Hi, Curtis, hope your day is going well. I just been listening to hour 233 when the Shaharons explained what the V-wing craft was doing on the moon. He compared them to the Coast Guard doing training missions. I've noticed on recent shows that you still seem to have questions on these crafts, and I'm wondering if so, if you would mind telling me what your concerns are. After the Sharons explained, I just put it aside, but perhaps I'm overlooking something. Take care. Love and joy, Kathleen." And I wrote back to Kathleen, and I just said, the moon is a huge body, large body, very close to the Earth, and there it is sitting right there standing, staring at us, and just not something just to cast aside and just look the other way. I mean, there it is for all of us to see. And like this 67P comet with this craft on it that the higher-ups in NASA are looking at it, and we should be really aware of this for all of us. My gosh, it would probably change the focus of the people on Urantia if we knew they were right there on the moon. But why is it that they want to keep this totally from us? So they want to keep it to themselves as their little secret, but we're paying the bill? Kathleen writes back. She says, "Thanks for letting me know what your concerns are. Yes, it's very frustrating when things are hidden from us, some for reasons that are for our own, and some for reasons of fear, power, and control. Hang in there, dear friend. I do sense the tide is changing, and all things will be revealed in His timing. As always, take care, love, and joy, Kathleen." Yeah, it's right there on the moon. And, we can't see it today because it's sun, you know, the sun is up, but when the sun goes down and you can see the moon, like right now, the moon is, like, you can see half of the moon. Half the moon's lit up by the sun, in our view. And right there in the center is this craft, just looking right at us. What is it doing there? You said it was on a Coast Guard mission, but training mission, but you know, we see other military training missions, and we can figure out what they're doing or see what they're doing. But to keep us in the dark is keeping us in the dark and keeping us blind. And we can't really move forward if we're blind.
Well, actually, I think they don't even know what they're doing. So then why tell everybody? Because they're only opening up a whole area in which they don't have the answers to.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice to talk about, other than, you know, how the Kardashians are doing or something. I was over at a friend's house, and they're on television where the Kardashians. I never saw them before. But, you know, why do I have to hear about them in the news all the time? It's just to keep us entertained or something with football, and I mean, it's nothing like a good football game, but really, we've got to wake up. But we can't wake up if they keep us asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, if, you know, like, it's all... I just recently listened to Vladimir Putin when he gave his talk to those students, and he wasn't speaking with a teleprompter. But our president always has a teleprompter. And, you know, like my neighbor says, oh, he's such a good speaker. Well, maybe so, but are they his words? They're not his words. She thinks he writes all his own speeches. Well, if he wrote all his own speeches, he wouldn't need it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to keep us in the dark, because then we are in the dark. And it's good that you and Sharon are opening up some of these doorways to us and learning what to anticipate in the future and what we're going through now. But it's not like we have a huge audience like the Drudge Report.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the audience we have, and which is very nice, and they're scattered around the world, but things are happening right under our nose or right in front of our face, and they can't talk about it. I mean, just because they don't know what they're doing doesn't mean they can't talk about it.
Well, it gives us a space to do that, but it, in terms of their own exploration and trying to find the answers, if they don't have it, they just go, they'll end up looking, making our government look inept.
Well, I mean, we can't fault our government for not knowing what they're doing up there. How would we know?
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. Let's have it on the table.
Yeah. I think when it came down to it, even when it came down to the revelations of... let's look at Fatima, a religious thing that happened with so many observers. It did shake up a whole thing, but explanations were not easily found except through faith, this is perhaps where government lacks something that of that caliber, which is faith, and that is something that makes truth, the sharing of truth. Without that level of faith, they could never be able to share it, because they don't have the answers, but they don't have the faith either.
And they don't want to bring it up, because then they would bring attention to some force greater than them.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly
where
faith comes in. Yeah, faith comes into the acknowledgement of a greater order of things. And, and as I said, that's one of the most important factors in allowing the holographic governance, which will allow for a civilization not go through cycles of rise and fall, but just to maintain and actually not just maintain, but actually grow well beyond. The Nirancha book calls it a time of light and life,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Bible calls it, biblically, it's called a time of a new heaven and a new earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not there yet, but the participation by many individuals developing toward that, that is something that is happening right now, even more now than ever before.
Well, that's good to realize.
Yeah. Because we're able, you know, one of the wonderful things is we're able to blend properly philosophy, faith, religion, and science, and technology, because we function in all the dimensions. But I just add the reality of a greater brotherhood of sentient celestial orders that are literally have their arms open and awaiting us to come and join them. But we've got to grow up, I guess you might say. Because mm-hmm. Some people would just say, I just want to go around my life and do my thing. I don't want to be bothered with that. But that's the whole purpose about being alive, is to be bothered by the ascent beyond being just a human being.
Well, it makes all of our days very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Well, are you going to work on your boat next week, or are you going to be around next week?
Yeah, I'll try to make sure I'll be around. But the boat good. Should be in the water, which is good. It's where it belongs. Not on land. Although there are people who've retired their boats to their front yard. And one of the best little, you might say, beach houses was a boat that has been, a relatively large boat that has been retired from being in the ocean, and they become a beach house. And there's a few here in Hawaii. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything on it is meant to be, taking the ocean air. So
it's still getting the ocean air.
Yeah. It's one that I heard about, that they cut a door, facing the away from the ocean, and they end up going into it like they took the engines and everything out, and it's a nice place, sort of like a little, because everything inside of it was so nice. Anyway,
all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well. Aloha for today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, aloha.
All right. Good. Aloha, Michael.